I speak to you in the name of Jesus, crucified and risen. Amen. The youth was in a little trance of astonishment. So they were at last going to fight. On the morrow, perhaps, there would be a battle, and he would be in it. For a time, he was obliged to labor to make himself believe. He could not accept with assurance an omen that he was about to mingle in one of the great affairs of the earth. At the beginning of Holy Week, those words of Stephen Crane in the first chapter of The Red Badge of Courage set the stage for what is to come. Many years ago, my older son used to watch a children's television program called The Electric Company. Remember The Electric Company? It was a loud, raucous, hyper-frenzied show. But in the manner of all parents, sometimes I used to watch it with him. One of the recurring characters on that show was a little man in a suit and tie and hat, little suit and hat, who demonstrated spatial concepts like under, over, and through. But his most lasting impression on me was his dramatization of here and there. He would stand on an X and he would say, here. Then he'd point over there and he'd say, there. Then he would walk over there and he'd stand on that spot and say, here. And point over there and say, there. I love that little man. He seems like a good metaphor for the journey of the church through Lent. We began the season standing on a mountaintop with Jesus, whose face shone like the sun. Remember Monet's painting, or the one we hoped Monet would paint? But we came down from the mountain, and we started to go over there to Jerusalem with Jesus. Throughout this season, the little man has been popping up in the oddest places. We listened to the relentless rain on the roof of the ark and wondered if here was the end, only to hear the noise stop, feel the ark settle in place, and open the latch onto a new world there. We listened to Abraham, who thought that here with his family was fine, until one day that voice spoke to him, Lech, Lecha, Lech, Lecha, get up and go there, to that land. We found ourselves waiting at the foot of the holy mountain while Moses spoke with God. And when Moses returned down the slopes, the tablets in his hands promised a better there in covenant with God. We stood in awe as Jesus was lifted from the earth, and we knew that there was better than the here of our sin and folly. And finally, we followed the Greeks who came to Philip, and we discovered that over there with Jesus is where we want to go. And now we accompany Jesus to a place near Jerusalem, nearly there, and we make ready to go the last stretch. At last, we are going to Jerusalem to mingle in one of the great affairs of the earth. And for a moment, a cold wind knifes across our shoulder blades, and the talons of fear sink deeper, and we wonder what will be there when we get there. But to wonder what will be there is really disingenuous. We know what will be there, usually trouble. Jesus rode right into the seat of power. Jesus rode into the capital city, the center of the establishment. And once he got there, he drove out the money changers from the temple, disturbing the peace and destroying property. He cursed a fig tree. He called the religious leaders hypocrites and stirred enough trouble to cause the chief priests and elders to plan for his arrest and execution. If you're going to go from here to there, you're likely to find trouble if you go in the name of God. If you go there to serve the poor in the name of Jesus, you will find trouble from powerful and entrenched interests. If you go there to oppose capital punishment, you will be challenged by strong and righteous opponents bearing scales of justice. The freedom riders in the 60s on interstate buses, like those like the late John Lewis, were attacked and beaten and killed when they got there. Our cautious self says, why not go another route, a better, easier route? If Jesus only wanted to celebrate Passover with his friends in Jerusalem, why not enter quietly in the crowd or just gather with his friends? Why must people cause trouble? Why must streets fill with protest when black people die in police custody? Why not, like a fiercely worded letter to the editor? Why didn't the civil rights protesters just have rallies and write letters? Why did they have to march across the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma and provoke state troopers and get some of their company killed? Why not go an easier route? Why? Because as Henry Fleming realized in The Red Badge of Courage, they were at last going to fight. On the morrow, perhaps there would be a battle and he would be in it. Nothing of power gives way without a fight, and this world is bound by great powers not of God. They don't just give away. They don't just give up and go away. Not ever. Temptation, blindness, deceit, death, they cannot be wished away. So Jesus rode into the city to the cheering of the crowd. Jesus rode into the middle of the enemy. And Jesus rode to his certain death. And that's what was there when he got there. Somewhere during the past year, somebody asked me why I had to keep talking about tough, divisive, flinty, fearsome things. Why I couldn't just pour out comfort and love. All I could say was that I was called to speak the truth. And the truth is that there is always better than here. For those who believe, there is always better than here. I have never known a broken marriage to be healed without confronting the painful and scary things. I have never known conflict to be resolved by pretending it isn't there. I have never known the baptismal hope of justice and peace among all people to be realized without a fight. So I will say again, and claim it as God's truth, that there is always better than here. Next Sunday is better than this Sunday, but not without the days between. It is better that Jesus left the mountain of glory and went to Jerusalem than that he went home to the carpenter shop in Nazareth. I wonder what Jesus felt as he mounted the colt and gazed across the valley to the walls of Jerusalem, the city of peace. Anxiety, fear, worry, excitement, hope. I would like to believe he felt what we feel when we stand before the stretch we must cross to find peace and healing and life. You have stood at that place. Everyone has. You know that tomorrow there will be a battle and you will be in it. What you must believe on this day of the Lord's Passion is that when you go there, God will go with you. Amen.